would cry.
Bang. So, last week we were looking at how we look at the world. That sort of having a natural perspective and a supernatural perspective, but recognizing that everything has a spiritual dimension. We were talking about how so often we put ourselves at the center, and actually we need to put God at the center, and we need to be comfortable with mystery. This evening, we are going to look at, in our second time, is staying in step with the Holy Spirit, or shall I say, staying in step with the Lord. You've got notes that we'll be following through. I won't cover all the notes, but if you haven't got them there at the back, but I'll dip in and out of them. But ultimately, to stay in step with the Lord, we need to be able to listen to the Lord. We need to be able to hear his voice. And just to check that things... So last week, we were looking at the supernatural realms last week, and then the other common areas that we were talking about, prayer generally, was encountering God. And we do that by communication and knowing that the two parties, God and us, talking. And so we're going to be talking about communication today, and in 2 weeks' time, we're going to be talking about who we are in relation to God. Let me read a scripture from Deuteronomy. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Here's a scripture from what Jesus said, I only speak what I hear the Father saying. I only do what I see my Father doing. John 5:19. To walk with God, to stay in step with God, requires two things. Sorry, three things from that first, particularly focusing on that first scripture. It's to love him, it's to hear his voice, and it's to obey him. And this evening, we're going to be looking at what it means to hear his voice. Just before we go any further, I wonder how comfortable you are, or how familiar you feel you are in your daily life, in your prayer life, to hearing God's voice. Now we're going to talk about, going to unpick that in a moment, about what I mean by that, what we should mean by that. But just for a moment, I think in your notes there's a sort of a, if you want to use that, there's a little scale from 0 to 10. Now Jesus said he only does what he sees his Father doing. So he would have perfect communication with his Father, constantly aware about what the Lord is asking him to do. So he would get 10 out of 10. There probably aren't many of us who've got 10 out of 10. But just for a moment, at this moment, no condemnation, it's just where are we? There's no judgment about any of this, so please don't go there. If you've never heard the Lord, or conscious and feel that you've ever heard the Lord, then that's okay. This is why we're all gathering, to learn and to grow in that. But just for yourself, where do you think? Do you sometimes hear God? Do you hear him when you pray, but not at other times? Would you put yourself at a sort of 6 or a 7? Or would it be a 3? Or four. Just for a moment. Think where are you? And when you hear the Lord, how specific do you think it is? Is it sort of vague, awareness of God speaking to you? Or do you get accurate words? Do you get specifics? Again, what do you think your own personal experience is? Stir the thought. Kingdom living involves us living through a relationship, not through principles, laws, and guidance, but it's through a relationship with our Father in heaven. It's a relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And this results in a significant shift in the priority that we need to place on hearing God's voice and the way he speaks for us today, as well as how he has spoken in the past. In Christ, we can all hear God's voice. Every single one of us are designed to hear God's voice. Now, amongst us, we will have an array of being attuned for all sorts of reasons. There will be people who are gifted to be prophets and hold a prophetic role. And I'm not going to use the language prophetic very often, but all I'm saying when I use the word prophetic is hearing God's voice. There are some people who have the role and the anointing to be prophets. But all of us have the ability to have the prophetic gift of hearing God's voice. And it's part of our original design as believers. In your notes are a number of scriptures to illustrate that. But let me read this one from John 10. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. That's John 10. We are designed to hear his voice. John 16 says, I have much to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. Here's the Father from heaven saying. And he will tell me, what is yet to come. There is a dialogue going on. That's John 16. And in Acts 2, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Our old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. They will hear God's voice. So the most important thing for us is to understand that we're designed to hear God's voice. And one of the things that will stop us not hearing God's voice is simply not knowing that we're allowed to and will, and having that faith. And many communities, in the past, we've, as a church, nationally, internationally, we've often lost that. We've forgotten that we are designed to do that. And it's a beautiful thing to regain that. Now, I've been here long enough to know that we as a church community understand that God speaks and we hear his voice. And part of, again, talking about this is reminding us how God speaks, encouraging us to exercise that. And we're going to exercise this later today, this evening. And I understand many people were exercising it again this morning, particularly down at St. Andrew's, which is, amen, fantastic. So how do we hear God's voice? Let's actually look at the different ways in which we hear God's voice. Again, I'm going to run through the sort of areas on the notes. The first one is, there's the full list, so we'll do the whole thing. So the first thing is through the mind. God speaks to us in our minds. We read the scriptures. God still speaks to the scriptures. Praise God. It's our foundational source of where God speaks. But God can also plant thoughts in our minds. But we need to be alert, of course, so can somebody else. And Paul tells us we need to take every thought captive and weigh it up and be sure where is the source of those thoughts coming from. Spoke to someone today, and it's something I experienced last year, where the thoughts that I was experiencing, the thoughts that they were experiencing today, were absolutely not from God, but they were totally affecting that person. And we needed to take capture and remember God's truth over his life. Words from God. Read and scripture. So we get words from God into our mind. So the mind is how we hear God's voice, God speaking directly in that way. The second is the imagination. Now, what is our imagination? Well, I love the description that the imagination is a bit like the cinema of our heart. The imagination brings together what is going in our heart. Now, imagination, it creates, doesn't it? It's a creative place. And it's often full of emotion, physical motion, as well as stills. But the imagination is birthed, and what we see in our imagination is birthed in our hearts. And so it's worth being very, very alert to the things that we imagine are speaking about what's going on in our hearts. And that can expose so much. But in our imaginations, we see dreams, or we get dreams. We get pictures. We get visions. Prayerful meditation on scripture, allowing the Spirit to take us into that scripture and allowing our imaginations to go into places that the Lord wants to take us, to encourage us, to grow us, to help us know him. I find that when I'm praying for people, the imagination and pictures is my primary form in which God speaks to me and releases truth and blessing to others. Now, we'll all be different. Okay, some of us will much prefer to go to words, and they might be quite just a word or a sentence or a scripture. But generally, and others will use other things and pictures. I use pictures a lot. And that's so often how God speaks to me through others. So in the mind, in the imagination. The other one is through our intuition, our heart. And just to quote Mark 2:8, immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in his heart. You know that thing where you just suddenly know? There's something, some people refer to it as your knower. Deep in here, you just know. You can walk into a place and just know this is a really special place. You can just connect with someone and just know something about that person, can't you? You can go into other places and you say, ooh, this doesn't feel right. And so there's something about our intuition. And that's where part of us as Western enlightened culture, enlightened sort of Western culture, needs to continue to wake up to our emotions, our imaginations, our spirit beings, and we as a community are right on that track. But there are many who aren't, and that's just the reality. But we are blessed that we do. But it's how we continue to grow in that and feel confident in that. But learn to start saying, ooh, did I just pick up on something? Is the Lord prompting me in something? You know, you're walking down the street and who's been there, walking down the street or doing something and you just feel the Spirit said, are you going to pray for that person? Or are you going to do something? Do you ever get one of those? Am I the only one who gets? And then I have to say, probably 80% of the time, I just keep on going and pretending. You know, got much to work in on that. So, the mind, the imagination, the intuition. Now, this is an interesting one. The next one is in the body. Now, it's not something I've really very much experienced, but I know people who have. It's, if you're praying with somebody or praying, at any time, some people get pains or feelings in their body which God is is prompting as a point of that's what I want to heal, or that's what I want to speak into. As I say, it's not something I consciously ever experienced, but I know people do. So if, for instance, people are praying together before the service and asking the Lord what's going on, someone might suddenly get a headache and might get a sense of, do you know, I think we need to be praying for migraines, or someone may come this morning with migraines and we need to particularly name that and pray against it. That's the type of form. Has anybody sort of have a sense of experiencing that? Janet, you have. Any others? Yep, one or two hands going up. Great. And Jane, brilliant. So the body can sometimes... So again, it's... Am I alert? I'm not generally alert to what's going on in my body, but it's something I need to sort of tune into. Okay, the two other ones, of course, may be more familiar, and certainly scripturally, but God speaks to us with our physical eyes, through visions. See angels, see, dare I say, demons or things that manifest, or something in front of us. Have I seen a vision? I'm not sure. I would say most things have come into my imagination. One or two in London that could have been, but I'm not sure. But Daniel is a classic scripture to go to see visions. Also Elisha. What about Peter's vision when the sheet came down with all the unclean animals? So visions are very real and present, and there will be people here who have seen visions. So there's the physical eyes. Then there's the audible voice of God, those who hear God. Has anybody sensed that they've heard God's voice speaking to you? Great, wonderful, bless you. Gosh, I sort of feel that a couple of times I've heard him shout my name to get my attention, but I don't particularly feel that he said anything from that in that way. But that's wonderful, the audible voice of God. And again, we see that in Scripture. Perhaps one example is at Jesus' baptism, which I've quoted a number of times today at various functions about. This is my son, you are my daughter, the one I love and whom I'm well pleased at. So just for a moment, which one of those perhaps have you engaged with or experienced? What's familiar with you? And perhaps, which one would you like? What would you like? Because it's okay to turn around and say, God, would you speak to me in that way? So how does God speak to us? How does God speak to you? He can do it through our minds, through our imagination, our intuition, through our bodies, physically with our eyes, and he can speak to us the audible voice. And are we looking for him to speak to us? Are we waiting for him? Okay, so let's all say we're getting 10 out of 10. We're like Jesus. We can hear him every time he speaks. In fact, we just cruise through each day. There's a constant flow. Well, wouldn't that be nice? Constant flow of the Lord's guidance to us. What are we supposed to do with it? Some of it may be completely obvious. And also, when we're praying with other people or for other people, what are we supposed to do? Well, it's understanding the process of discernment. Understanding the process of discernment, i.e. understanding what God is saying. And there are three things in this. There's the revelation, that's hearing God's voice, understanding or hearing, getting something, for want of a better phrase. There's then interpreting what we've got. And then there's how do we apply it? That's the process of discernment. Three stages. So let's just, what do I mean by either of that? Revelation. Revelation is what do you see? What do you hear? What do you receive from God? In any of those ways in which God speaks to us. That's the revelation. I've got a picture of a waterfall. Great. So I'm praying for someone. I've got a picture of a waterfall. Great. So what am I supposed to do with that? Now, there's a good chance that that person might understand what God is saying because the Holy Spirit is going to be. But one of the things when we get revelation is that then to say, Lord, what's the interpretation? What do I do with it? And what does it mean? And it's really important this time that we continue to be led by the Spirit and listen to the Lord, rather than just assume and use our own intellect. Oh, that waterfall means living water, therefore God's just pouring living water into you and more life. Well, it could mean something completely different in the context that we're praying. Especially as a waterfall is quite a common picture, because it's very scriptural, it's really beautiful, and it's filled with so much truth and life in it. But the interpretation is really critical, and we need to trust God to give us what we need. Now, if we're praying, now to remember, to some degree, we're putting this in the context of prayer ministry and praying for one another. So I'm going to sort of speak into that. And so when we're praying for other people, we need to trust that the Lord, it's not about us if we are praying for someone else. It's about the person who has been prayed for and them encountering the Lord. So we, as the conduit, as the person standing with that person and praying, we don't necessarily need to get the interpretation. It's really healthy and good to say, Lord, what's the interpretation? Do you want me to share that? But if you don't get anything, clearly, then it's okay not to get anything. You're not in charge. You're not Jesus. I'm not Jesus. I'm not the fixer in the situation. We're just to submit this in love to the person we're praying for. Because it's very likely that the other person will get that interpretation. Because it's their interpretation, it's their picture, it's not ours. Does that make sense? Do you want to give that? Because this is a perfect... Dave told me a story.
As some of you know, I've been away this week just with some guys, and we've had... who I trained with, we had sort of 45 minutes each where we just... each had a 10-15 minutes to splurge, and then we decided to just really listen to God for each other in that context for 10 minutes of silence, and then feedback stuff. And it's a great example for this, because one of the guys, and we had post-it notes, and we just wrote stuff on post-it notes, and we wrote questions to each other particularly, but one of the guys wrote on my post-it notes, and the first thing he did was he wrote a few squiggles. And they literally were just squiggles. It was like four little sets of squiggles. And I just got so much admiration for him because it looked really stupid to pass it on. And he says, I've no idea what this is about, but I just feel that I need to pass this on to you. He hadn't got a clue what it meant, and nor had any of us initially. And there was a sort of giggle that went around the room. And then suddenly, I remembered that the previous night, sitting round the dinner table, we'd spent about 25 minutes looking at the hallmarks on the silver cutlery. We were staying in a really posh place, and we were trying to work out how many hundred years old the cutlery was. And we literally had taken pictures of it, we'd Googled what the little symbols were, we'd tried to work out where it was from and what year, etc. And it suddenly clicked that actually the picture he'd given me was four little symbols, which is exactly what we'd been looking at the previous night on the knives and forks. And the moment I realised that, I said, it's a hallmark. And it was my picture, and I knew that it was God saying to me, he's got his stamp, his hallmark on me. And it was just a really profound moment where you just knew. And I think that's a great example, isn't it? God knew we'd been looking at these the previous night. And actually God decided to give him a picture, which then I responded to and connected with what we'd done before. But it was God's way of saying, I've got my hallmark on you, you're precious, you're valuable. And it just really spoke powerfully to me. So.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks. And so that's a wonderful example of the faithfulness of someone saying, I think I've got a picture. You might think I'm barking mad, but the person who God was speaking to, it landed. I'll give you another example that's just come to mind. I hope you don't mind me. I'm not going to embarrass Isaac, but Isaac had a picture. We were praying last week. He had a picture. And of course, before giving it to, he started with, this doesn't make any sense. It may be mad, this, that and the other. And as he began to share it, it was a strange picture, but I knew exactly what God was saying. And I knew that was for me. And he was listening to the Lord. He was hearing the Lord, and the Lord was speaking through him. So it's that faithfulness and to trust. And sometimes that means we have to be brave to share our revelation. I got an email, I think this weekend, saying, this may sound mad, but... saying they're not sounding mad. You know, those are real pictures that God's releasing. And we just need to be faithful. That's our role, is to be faithful, humble, and offer it. But when we are praying for people, Lord, what do you want to say in this situation? We get a revelation. Then to say, okay, Lord, what does that mean? Without making any assumptions, because it's so easy to naturally just say, oh, I understand what that means. What does that mean? It's okay if the God doesn't give you the interpretation. Then you just humbly offer it. And this is a key, I'm straying into other times of how we practically minister to one another. We'll hopefully get to that next week. But everything that we do, when we're praying for others, it's in love. It's about them. It's loving them. And we offer everything. We don't say, the Lord is saying, and you know that. But it's just worth reiterating. So the third step is then the application. Now again, as someone who is praying for someone else, it might be appropriate for us to sort of say, okay, Lord, so you've given me this waterfall. I think the interpretation is that they really need a shower. And the application is they need to go and have a shower. Well, we'll come on to whether that's appropriate to have said that or not in a moment. But the Lord, again, may offer some application. What does that mean? What does that mean the person needs to do? Again, we don't have to have it. It is the responsibility of the recipient to own these words, to take them away and to apply it for themselves. We are just there to love them and forward those things onto them. But there might be something that says, I think the application is, I think perhaps, can I recommend you get a prayer partner? I just think it would be really helpful if you get a prayer partner. I think this may be, but I offer it. That may be what the Lord's saying. So it's again, humbly submitted. But again, it's for the person who's receiving those words to ultimately work out what it means for them and how they take it forward. But the whole process of discernment, and to be honest, the process of discernment is whether the leadership of the Chase team are getting together and asking the Lord, do we do Alpha this term? You know, that's about, you know, what's the Lord saying? Okay, what's the interpretation of what he's saying, and is that an application? Yes, we are actually doing it. Do you know what I mean? It's any form of, this should be just part of our daily life, not just when we're praying for people. This is the sort of act and process of discernment. So, enough on that, I think. Just a couple of words of warning. Our own pride. I need to know. I've got to have all the answers. No, we don't. We're just there to serve and to love. I think there's something about we can rush too quickly. I can rush too quickly and not quite dwell long enough. Yeah, I think I've got it. Yep, I think I've got it. Got the interpretation. Here we go. When I just need to sit and either allow the Spirit to develop a picture or develop just ought to be able to say, no, I'm not getting anything more. And so just be cautious. And just, is this me talking or is this the Lord? And it's okay. We're not always going to get it right. We're not perfect. We are learning. But we won't learn unless we practice. And so it's okay, Lord, my heart is faithfully trying to be obedient to your leading. Have I got this right? Have I got this wrong? Sometimes I'll get it right, sometimes I won't. But if our hearts are in the right place, to be faithful, to love that person, to serve that person, when we get it wrong, God's got it covered. God will sort any mess that we make out. God will sort it out. If we're coming from a place of love and humbleness. Okay, I want us to get praying in a moment for one another to experience some of this. So I'm not going to cover everything left in the notes, but let me just talk about testing. When we talk about what is it, some of the practical hints and helps that we can, when we're praying for people, it is that we offer everything. We never impose anything. And I think one of the other aspects is if we are using the gift of prophetic, if we're listening to God's voice and praying for others, what is our default when it comes to sharing words? And I think you just can't go wrong from 1 Corinthians 14:3. Everyone who prophesies speaks to men and women for their strengthening, their encouragement and comfort. If we've got a word that sit there and say, you are an evil so-and-so and you really need to buck up, do you know what? It's probably not coming from God. Yes, there is a place of correction and discipleship, and I'm not going there this evening, but that comes from people who are in authority and in relationship and in friendship, and that's appropriate. But as a whole, when we're in places of prayer ministry, when we're praying for one another in any context, it's about strengthening, encouraging, loving and comforting. So does the word I've received match that? That's the first test. Is the person I'm praying for going to feel loved and encouraged if I share them? If you don't have that confidence, don't share it. And if that word continues to sit and press upon you, and you still aren't sure, then you need to go and speak to someone else and say, I've got this word for this person. This is what it is. This is why I'm wrestling it. Do you think I should share it? And then get wisdom from someone else to journey with you. What else about testing what we share and what we hear? Is it in line with Scripture? Jesus is perfect theology. Anything which is inconsistent with the character and teaching of Jesus is not from God. So is it in line with Scripture? Is it in line with Jesus and how Jesus would approach? Does it express love for that other person? So those are some core things about testing the words that you get. The other one I want to just ask is... the sort of sense of resonance. So, you know, in all you musicians out there will know exactly what I'm talking about. The resonance that if you hit a tuning fork or something, the vibration, it sort of resonates into a particular tune. I'm not going to describe this very well. But when something it resonates with something else and they come in line, scientists, tell me what resonance is. It resonates. Thank you very much. We'll leave it at that.
The applied frequency equals the natural frequency.
Love it. My question. So, how do you exercise resonance? All of us, it's a bit like intuition. It's in here. Does that word resonate? And it's a wonderful way to offer words as well. So, the word that... Isaac had for me last week, bit mad, I don't know if this means anything, and I could just answer it resonates. I haven't got all the interpretation, but it just sits comfortably. I'm resonating with it. And that we can get that spiritually as well. And if you resonate in an uncomfortable way, then don't go with it. Don't share it, because something's not quite right. It may be that you need to hold it and carry on and wait to develop that picture or that word or whatever it is will develop, or it may not be the right time. And ultimately, we offer all these things. I've said it enough times. We submit these things in love. Now, some of us will be more comfortable about listening to God, more at ease. I've sat with people. In fact, I think there was a story last week. Maybe someone here, forgive me, but I don't really hear God. I don't really hear God. But I do have this scripture for you, and I do have this picture. Oh, that's lovely. Sometimes we don't necessarily know that we're hearing God because we haven't sort of named it or talked about it. It was an archdeacon who used to come to some of the events that we hosted in our last in my last place, and he loved all this, but he said, I've never had a picture, never heard from God, in that way. And it was just so lovely. Over the coming weeks, he just was out there giving these words of blessing and life to people. It was an amazing thing. So, but there are some times where we struggle to hear, and there are reasons for that. I'm not going to go through them. They are in your notes. But sometimes that it covers about, you know, do we just need to go and do stuff with God, clear up our open our ears, have some faith and believe and step into it with courage. And there are some notes for you to read about that, just to encourage you if you feel. But some of it is perhaps as much as saying, Lord, I want to grow in this. Please help me. And then it is a practice. All forms of prayer require practice. And in the same way, it's practicing this. And as a result, we're now going to practice. Now I will say this. Opening up to God wants to speak specifically. He really is interested in the detail. Where, Lord, are my lost keys? I have heard endless stories where there's just so much detail, it just couldn't be anything other than God. And so when we ask questions, do not be afraid of specific questions. Really direct. Actually, you know, going too broad can make it even harder to understand what God is doing. So don't be afraid to go specific. And I think in the notes there are all sorts of scriptures where they're very specific. Do I put one? Yes. So they inquired of the Lord, has the man come yet? Yes, he's hiding himself amongst the baggage. You know, you don't get much more specific than that, but there are other examples in the notes. Anyway, there's always too much to share, and I talk too... No, I don't talk too much. Maybe I do. Let's pray, because that's really where we're going to learn. So, like last week, I'd like you to love to get into threes, fours if necessary. Ideally, just as we're learning, I'd suggest married couples be in different groups. And there are two options for you. There is one when you're praying. Someone in your group may have, and I'd like all three people to be prayed for, okay? And all of us to practice listening for someone else, okay? So, but one, if you have a particular situation that you would like your prayer people to pray for, then offer it. Do not go into 10 minutes of explanation. We haven't got the time. We need to be done by 8. But you might say, well, I'm starting a new job. I'm off on holiday. What would the Lord say? And then ask the Lord, okay, Lord, what would you say to this person about the new job or something specific? Otherwise, what I'd love you to do is, if you don't want to do that, is, Lord, what are two parts of the person's original design that you'd like to speak into? Now, we'll talk a little bit about this next week, but original design. How has God made you? Right from the beginning. Not who you are at the moment, because we've got all sorts of brokenness, we are not the full article. But God created each and every one unique and special, with special gifts, special personalities, and unique to us. And to say, okay, Lord, how was Peter made? Maybe he was a musician. I prayed once for someone who, Lord said, they are a singer. And she turned around and said, I love singing, absolutely adore singing. I never, ever sing. Far too frightened, far too scared, never do it. Put those two things together. What's the enemy doing? Totally crushing that individual out of fear so they never sing as God designed them. The more we know about who we are, the more we can step with confidence into who we are. More of that next week. But ask the Lord, So ask the Lord, give me two things, Lord, for how you created this person and see what the Lord reveals. Okay? Does that make sense? Any questions? No? Okay. Are there some Bibles? We will get Bibles out. Okay, so move chairs, get into threes. Been made. You've got a slither, an inkling of the myriad of beautiful things that God has made you to be. And I am still getting new and fresh revelation when we do exercises like this about what God is saying about how he created me to be. And my encouragement to you is to take those words, put them in your Bible, put them next to your mirror, and have them say, God said I'm a man of joy. God said I'm a woman with a prophetic gift. Am I seeing that in my life? And if I'm not, that's how I'm designed, and therefore I should be. Therefore, Lord, will you lead me and help me to see more of that in my life? So say that. If there are words that you think, I've got that word, but it didn't quite land, there are two possibilities. I think I mentioned bad pizza last week. So it could be bad pizza. It's not a word. Ditch it. And that's okay. That will happen sometimes. The other is that, okay, Lord, I've got this word, doesn't make sense. Would you speak to me about this word? And the Lord may just start unpicking things and say, yeah, this, that, and that word start to resonate. And the reason what's going on is that it may be not something you recognise, because guess what? Your circumstances, the enemy, your experience, whatever, has done a number on you that has shut that part of your life and your character and your design down, and you haven't seen it. But it's something, if the Lord's put his finger on it tonight, it's something he wants to see blossom and to raise up and expose and bring to the fore again. So some of us will have words, yeah, get that, that's really encouraging. And what about those words? That's the word is saying, someone's got that word. God is saying to you this evening, I love you, I know you, this is how I made you, rejoice in it. And the Lord is speaking to you. That's why we're doing this, it's that encouragement. I'll speak more about what we're doing in this, because the truth sets us free. More of that in a moment. I think I'm going to end it there. Please, we've had some wonderful feedback and some good feedback, about how we can do things differently or not. Please keep that feeding back. We're going to meet in 2 weeks' time. We're going to look at who we are in Christ, and then we'll finish on deeper the week after that. Let me pray. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for all that you have released through the teaching, through our worship, and through the words and ministry to one another. Lord, I pray for protection over us all, that there would be no robbery, that this truth would not be undermined by the lies of the enemy, or that we would be discouraged. But would you keep us safe and protected, and would hold on to the truth you've released this evening. In Jesus' name. Amen. My final thing is, encourage you to pray for one another at the end of services, at your life groups, and during the week, when you bump into each other, when you have coffee with each other. How can I pray? How can I pray and encourage you? That's what we're trying to develop in us as a culture and as a community. Bless you. Thank you so much. If you fancy straighten the chairs, that would be helpful. Oh no, don't we?